We'll be looking at the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our verse of focus this morning is verse 18. However, we'll be looking at verses 15 through 18 just to get somewhat of a context as we think about the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-filled walk. Because if we are believers this morning, we're called to walk in the Spirit. In fact, even Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to walk in the Spirit. It tells us to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, looking down through verse 18, here the word says, look carefully then how you walk. Notice it doesn't tell us to look carefully how others walk. This could be a whole new sermon. But to examine how we walk in the Lord. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, bless your word and speak to our hearts today. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we think about what it means to be Spirit-filled, to walk in the Spirit. And as believers this morning, we are to live this Spirit-filled life. We are called to live this Spirit-filled life, a life that is to be very different from the world because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference He makes in our lives. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, yet He saves us by His grace. He takes us out of Adam, places us in Jesus. He transforms us into a new person, a new being, and places us in the body of Christ. The church. He places us here. Then He leaves us in this world. Why are we left here? To live the Spirit-filled life, to walk the Spirit-filled life, to be light in a dark world, and to carry out God's plan for our lives. You see, when God saves us, He places that Spirit within us. He fills us so that every born-again believer in Christ is indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And our text this morning talks about walking in the Spirit. And there are demands, there are expectations placed upon us if we are to walk in the Spirit. What are some of those demands and expectations of living this Spirit-filled life? Well, first of all, this morning we can see that living the Spirit-filled life requires something of us. It demands something of us. If we are to live the Spirit-filled life, then living the Spirit-filled life demands capitulation. That's a big word that simply means a surrendering. You see, capitulation means to cease fighting or to cease resisting. So the idea here is that we are to surrender, we are to yield our lives to the Lord when we come to Christ, and we are to daily die to self, daily deny self, and continue daily walking with the Lord. So we see that when we get up in the morning, as a follower in Christ, we have a decision to make. Am I going to follow self? Am I going to follow my carnal fleshly nature, my carnal fleshly desires? Or am I going to yield, surrender, not fight against, not resist the Spirit of God, but yield to the Spirit of God in my life? So we see here that we are to daily walk with the Lord. We are to daily lay down our lives, daily lay down our wills, our desires, and lay those things down in order to surrender to the Lord and to follow Him in our lives, to allow Him to have His will in His way in our hearts, in our homes, and in our lives, in our places of worship. We are to no longer resist or fight against the Spirit of God, but when we come to Christ, we now welcome the Spirit of God in our lives. We welcome His working and moving in our lives, and we submit to His authority, and we allow Him complete governance over us. Now, many today spend their lives wrestling with wrestling against, fighting against, and resisting the Spirit of God as He tries to work within them. But in order for us to be who God wants us to be, in order for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, we must allow Him full rule and full reign in our hearts and lives. You see, Christ desires to not only be our Savior, but He also desires to be our Lord. And it's important that we as believers understand and be able to differentiate between the two. He is our Savior. He saves us from our sins, but He is also our Lord, our Master, our King, that we serve Him and not this world. We serve Him and not self. So we see that He is to be our Lord and our Savior, and we have to understand that Jesus will either be Lord of all in our lives, or He won't be Lord at all. Amen. He will not share His throne with us or with anyone else as He works in our lives. He wants to be Lord of all. So if we're going to walk with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, then we have to understand the demand of capitulation. We have to understand that we are surrendering our lives to Him. That we no longer rule and reign in our hearts and our lives. But now we surrender our lives to our Lord. A surrendering of our lives in order to allow the Spirit of God to fully work within us and through us as we serve the Lord. But not only does this Spirit-filled life demand capitulation, demand a ceasing of resisting the Spirit of God, a ceasing of wrestling with or fighting against the Spirit of God, but also it requires something else from us this morning. As believers in Christ, as the children of God, as the saints of God, as the church of the living Lord, we must understand that living the Spirit-filled life also demands compliance. Obedience. The fact that we obey the Lord, as we are filled with the Spirit, we are to allow the Spirit, we are to follow the Spirit as He leads us. We are to follow His leading, follow His unctioning, His workings in our lives. We are to follow Him as He leads us ever deeper into the things of God. Because you see, if He will lead, but the question is, will we follow? God desires to work in our lives. He's working in our lives even now. His Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us each day. So He is leading us, but will we follow? Are we willing subjects to follow the workings of God in our lives? And allow us, He allows us to grow and mature in our faith if we will follow the Holy Spirit. He allows us to grow and mature, and we have to understand that our spiritual maturity and our spiritual growth is not determined by longevity in the pew. Our spiritual maturity and growth is not determined by our chronological age, but yet our spiritual growth and maturity is determined by our obedience to the Lord as He works in our lives through His Word and through the precious Holy Spirit as He works within us. That's why it's possible that we could have someone who had been saved 40 years ago, had come to the Lord and been saved but has experienced no real spiritual maturity or spiritual growth in their lives since. You see, the idea is that as we come to Christ, we are born into the kingdom of God. We're born into the family of God. And just like a newborn baby that has been born, the new believer is a baby in Christ. We're a babe in Christ. And just like a baby needs to grow up, we spiritually must grow up. We must grow and learn and develop in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. And we do that by following the Holy Spirit in our lives as He leads us and works in us and through us. You see, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are either following the Spirit or we're out of the will of God for our lives. So we see that we are to be filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit requires that we surrender our lives to Him, not only at the point of salvation, but daily. Paul said, I die daily. He talks about denying self. So we are to surrender our lives each day to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to reestablish His Lordship daily in our lives, and we are to also be obedient to Him as He works through us and in us. But also we can see another demand that's placed upon us if we endeavor to live this Spirit-filled life. Not only am I to surrender my life to Him daily, each day, not only am I to walk in obedience to Him and yield my life and my will and my desire to Him, but we can also see that if we're to live the Spirit-filled life demands control. And we have to understand something. On the eve of our nation's anniversary of Independence Day, we as believers, we are to give up our independence in order to become dependent upon Jesus Christ. We are to be dependent upon Him. For He makes us free. Our freedom is found in Christ. And whom the Son sets free, as I shared this morning, is free indeed. Amen. You see, the issue is where the locus of control lies. The Spirit-filled life requires that we walk in the Spirit. It requires that we give up control. There's a great contrasting difference between the believer and the non-believer in regards to the issue of control. The difference is where the locus of control lies. You see, for the non-believer is in control of his life. But for the believer, for the follower in Christ, the believer, in the believer's life, the Spirit of God is in control. That's a very stark difference. It's a very contrasting difference that will lead us to two very different places in our lives. Well, you see, if I'm in control, it's inevitable that I'm going to make mistakes, that I'm going to cause problems, that I'm going to fall into sin, that I'm going to fall away from God. But if the Spirit of God is allowed to rule and reign in our hearts and our lives, and if the Spirit of God is allowed to be in control within our lives, then He is able to bring our lives in line with His will for us. So we see that following the Spirit of God demands control, demands that we give up control and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, guiding us and leading us ever closer to our Lord. We now yield that control to Him. He is Lord. He is King. He reigns within our hearts and lives. You see, a person who yields their life to the Spirit of God allows for an excess, an overabundance, an overflowing of God's presence and holiness within our lives. When the Holy Spirit fills our lives, He controls how we think. He controls how we speak. He controls how we walk. He controls how we talk. He controls even how we see and hear. You see, for the unbeliever or for the believer that's not developed in their spiritual maturity, they may hear or see one thing. They may hear or see a problem. But yet, for those that are walking in the Spirit, we may hear or see something very different. Instead of seeing or hearing a problem, we may see or hear a need or see or hear a ministry within the context of that problem. So the Holy Spirit works in our lives, works to produce spiritual fruit. That fruit that we cannot produce on our own. That we cannot produce apart from God, apart from walking in the Spirit of God. He produces spiritual fruit in our lives, and His presence affects every area of our life. And His presence affects every relationship in our lives. You see, when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives, He makes us more Christ-like, which is, in fact, God's ultimate goal for our lives. To be less like me and more like Christ. That I may decrease, that He may increase. That I would not seek the glory or seek to be self-centered, but that I would shift from a self-centered life to a Christ-centered life, so that I don't want to receive the glory, but I want God to receive the glory in everything that I say and do. You see, the Spirit of God does not merely want a place in our lives. He wants preeminence in our lives. The Spirit of God doesn't want a part of our lives. He wants all of our lives. Why? So that He can work in our lives and lead us and guide us and work in us and through us. But in order to do so, we must bring ourselves under subjection to His Lordship and His control in our lives. You see, one of the problems of the church today in this modern era is that we want to come to Christ, but we do not want to follow Christ. Even in the New Testament, when Jesus, everywhere he went, these large crowds were there. And at one point, Jesus turned and these large crowds were following him. And he turned and he began to teach them. And many of them were grieved at the teachings of Jesus. They said, his teachings are too hard. You know, we just can't follow him. And they turned and they followed him no more. Jesus this morning requires not only that we come to him, but that we follow him. And our Lord requires both. If we are to endeavor to live this Spirit-filled life, if we are to endeavor to walk this Spirit-filled life, our Lord requires both from us. That not only do we come to him, but that we also surrender our lives, that we give up that resisting, that we give up that control, and that we obediently follow Christ if we are to live a Spirit-filled life. Living the Spirit-filled life demands control. It demands that the Holy Spirit be in control of our lives. So verse 18 tells us here to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit of God. I wonder, what about us today? What about your life? Are you filled with the Spirit? Or are you wrestling or resisting as the Lord tries to work in your life? Are you fully surrendered to the Lord this morning? Or are there areas in your life where you need to wave that white flag of surrender? Are you allowing him to lead you in every area of your life in order to foster that spiritual growth and maturity within you so that you can continue to develop in your faith, to continue to develop ever deeper in the things of God? Is he in control, or have you retained some level of control in your life? To borrow an aviation term, who is flying right seat in your life this morning? You see, control by the Spirit keeps us consistent in the Spirit. You know, as I think about a lot of people in my life that I've known along the way, and I'm sure it's the same for you, I see a lot of people in my life, as I think back over the past, that started out strong in the Lord, but yet somewhere along the way, they've fizzled out, give up, quit, and they're no longer running that race. You see, the Christian walk is not a sprint this morning. It's a marathon. We're to keep running, keep going, keep following Christ until he calls us home. It's not the fastest runner that wins the race. It's those who can consistently, day after day, follow Christ and go where he leads. You see, God's desire, God's will, and God's plan for us this morning is to walk day by day, hand in hand with him, so that the Spirit of God can lead us in the direction and the way that he would have us to go. So in verse 15 again, he tells us to look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power and truth of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as you ascended back up into heaven after your resurrection, Lord, that you didn't leave us powerless. You didn't leave us without a comforter, without a teacher, without an illuminator, without a guide. Lord, you filled us with your Holy Spirit at the moment we surrendered our lives to you. Father, I pray this morning that that same Spirit of God that's within us would right now speak to our hearts and quicken us. And Lord, and show us those areas in our lives that you're calling us to lay down, to surrender to you, to give it all to you, Lord, so that we can follow you and please you as we seek to walk this Spirit-filled life. Father, during this time of invitation, I pray, Lord, that this would be a time for us to come and to just kneel before you and call upon you and just reasserting and reestablishing your Lordship in our lives, saying, yes, Lord, I belong to you, I'm yours, and I want your Spirit, your presence, to rule and reign supreme in my heart and in my life. Father, whatever the need is this morning in each life, I pray that you would have your will and your way within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.